Well, this morning we continue our series on seeking God. Seeking God. And today in particular we will be considering God's pervasive presence in the matter of seeking God. Where would you find him? Turn with me to Psalm 139. Let's give reading to verses 7 to 12. Where can I go from thy spirit? Or where can I flee from thy presence? If I ascend to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the dawn, I dwell in the remotest part of the sea. Even there thy hand will lead me, and thy right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night. Even the darkness is not dark to thee. The night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to thee. Well, one of the attributes of God is that he is omnipresent. Omnipresent. We are speaking of God's pervasive presence. Don't know if you're familiar with the word pervasive. It can mean existing in or spreading to every part. God is omnipresent in that he is exalted above every limitation of space. The limitations of space, what are they? Well, distance, size, form, the fact that a body can be only one at one place at a time. None of these limitations apply to God. God is not limited by anything. God dwells in his creation and is everywhere indivisibly present in all his works. Now, that makes a nice and lovely set of facts, doesn't it? But what is factual should be experiential. We emphasized that last week. We will emphasize it again. Because it's so very important that what is truly factual, right out of God's word, becomes a part of our life, part of our existence, every day. Keep that in mind. Perhaps we could draw your attention closer to the matter by asking you a question. What does God's omnipresence mean to you in your everyday life? In your everyday life. What goes on in your life every day? You get up, shower, you dress, you have breakfast, you go to work, you come home. Everyday life. Day after day, week after week. But what does God's omnipresence mean to you? In that everyday detail life that you're living out. Does it have any bearing on you? Are there times during the day when you are conscious of that? It means simply, in every situation, God is here. God is here. Someone has said that the most important word in the English language is God, and that the most important truth is that God is, but that the most important life-changing truth is God is here. So you have the word God, then you have God is, but then let's put the three words, God is here. What does that mean to me as I stand before you teaching this class or preaching the morning service? Does it mean anything to me? It means that God is looking over my shoulder while I'm preaching. God is looking over your shoulder as you are listening to the preaching. It can mean a lot. There is no place, there can be no place, where God is not. 10 million intelligences standing at as many points in space and separated by incomprehensible distances, can each one say with equal truth, God is here. Try to wrap your mind around that. No point is nearer to God than any other point. It is exactly as near to God from my place as it is from any other place. No one is in mere distance any farther from or any nearer to God than any other person is. So while I'm sitting here in the Metroplex and Ho Jun is in South Korea, God is as near to me and as near to Ho Jun at the same moment, right now. Amazing. Adam sinned, and in his panic, frantically tried to do the impossible. He tried to hide from the presence of God. Now, David, when he wrote Psalm 139, it seems like he may have, for some reason, for an instant, had a frantic thought about fleeing from God or his presence. He says, whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? It could be that there was that instant of thinking I need to get away. But wait a minute. He comes to reality. And in that reality, he writes one of the most beautiful psalms that has ever been written. If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. David knew that God's being and God's seeing are the same. That the seeing presence of God had been with him even before he was born. God watching the mystery of his conception and development. What does David say about that? Look at Psalm 139, verse 13. For thou didst form my inward parts, thou didst weave me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are thy works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from thee when I was made in secret, and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Thine eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in thy book they were all written. Just beyond comprehension. Solomon had a few words. Solomon said, "But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee, how much less this house which I have builded." Solomon knew what the omnipresence of God meant. He knew that God's presence was not limited to that temple, nor could be limited to all of space as we understand it. Paul assured the Athenians, God is not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. Think of that. In him. What takes place? In God, in Christ, we live and we move and we have our being. If God is present at every point in space, if we cannot go where he is not, cannot even conceive of a place where he is not. Question. Why then has not that presence of God become one of universally celebrated facts in the world? Because it isn't. I believe Jacob gives us the answer. Jacob there in the wastelands of howling wilderness made this statement about the wilderness. Surely the Lord is in this place. But think of these words. And I knew it not. That's the problem. God is here. Do we know it or not? Jacob said, yep, the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Do you see the connection with seeking God? God is in the bedroom, the living room, the kitchen, the car, the freeway, my work, church. Do we know it? Do we have to say, God was in this place, I knew it not? May we know it in reality. Now, as we studied last week, the presence, the omnipresence of God and the manifestation of his presence are not the same. You can have one without the other. God can be present with not necessarily manifesting that presence in ways that he alone can do. So, keep this in mind. God is always here, whether we are aware of it or not. That awareness has a lot to do with our sensitivity. It has a lot to do with God's sovereignty involved in making that presence known. Always, everywhere, God is present and seeks to discover himself. And to each of his people, God would not only reveal that he is, God would reveal who he is and what he is as well. He did not have to be persuaded to discover himself to Moses. Remember this, and the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. God just sovereignly chose to manifest himself. He not only made a verbal proclamation of his nature, but he also revealed himself to Moses so that the skin of Moses' face shone with supernatural light. But the challenge I want to put before you right now is simply this. It will be a great moment in our life when we begin to believe that God's promise of self-revelation is literally true. That he promised so much, but promised no more than he intends to fulfill. How does God manifest himself? Well, we don't have enough Sundays to tackle that teaching. Sometimes I like to take a little page out of my life. A week or so ago, a hot water heater went out. I knew it was going to happen because it was over 20 years old. I'd even talked to Gerald about it way back when he was putting in one for me in my bookstore. And I heard it rumbling and making these noises and cutting on. So I called my plumber. And I said, I need you to put in hot water here. He said, I can't get to it. I was on Friday. He said, I can't get to it till the middle of next week. My two granddaughters are now living with me. And etc. So I thought, well, as I told him, I said, I don't know if I can wait. If it goes out, I got to do something different. He said, no problem, I understand. So I go to Lowe's, to the plumbing department, and I talk to the guy at Lowe's. And I'm sure it's different in other places and under different circumstances. This guy really didn't have a clue what was going on. And finally I just said, you know, I don't think we can make this work because there's too many uncertainties about the way you're wanting to set this up, etc., etc. He said, no problem, we're fine. Go to Home Depot, can't find anybody to wait on me. Go back home. I said, well, I'm going to call the plumber and just see what happens. So I call the plumber. He says, now mind you, this is Saturday. He says, I'll see if I can get someone out there. Now, that's just a little story. But I believe that God was directing my paths, closing doors, and bring me back to where he wanted me to be and do what he wanted me to do. Is that a manifestation of God's presence? Yeah. Why? Because you can see the providence, you can see that working out in just little minor details. How God is there working in so many different ways. We need to be aware of that. You see, the revelation of God to any man is not God coming from a distance upon a time to pay a visit. We're not talking about physical distance involved in this concept. It is not a matter of miles, dear people. It's a matter of experience, of having a sensitivity to what's going on. in my life and how God is here in every little mundane detail of my life. All the twists and the turns, the stops, the starts. God is here. Now, to prove or to illustrate and to show that we're not talking about a matter of distance, let me illustrate it this way. Let's suppose you're in a conversation with a friend of yours. And in this conversation, the friend says to you, I believe my son is getting closer to me. Really? Now, wait a minute. Where is he? Is he in another city? Is he in the same town? No, he's not talking about distance. He's talking about a relationship. And he's saying, I believe things are working and my son is growing closer to me. You see, God is never far from us in distance. Ever. Ever. It's not a matter of distance. It's a matter of my receptivity to his presence and sensitivity to the fact he's here. God is here. In the jail ministry in North Carolina, several of us went every Monday night to the adjoining county jail, preached in that jail. We went there because the doors were wide open. We had total liberty. They just opened the door and said, have at it. Go to all the cell blocks you want to preach as long as you want. We were getting ready to leave one night. One of my deacons came up to me and said, this prisoner handed me his piece of paper with his name on it. I don't know why. I looked at it, said, Jose Madrono. Being a Hispanic name, I thought, maybe I need to go back there and check it out. Went back and checked it out, met this man, found out he was on his way to be transported to prison, 2 life sentences plus 80 years. We began corresponding. I went to the prisons to visit him. I've been writing to him 27 years. Still write to him. Talk him on the phone. He's a Christian. He loves God. Do you see the hand of God in that? The nearness of God to this guy in prison? I could have just looked at the paper and so what? But God is here. He's involved in every intricate little detail of what's going on in my life. So this friend says, my son is drawing closer to me. What do we mean when we sing, draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, draw me nearer? We're not talking about distance and space. We're talking about a personal relationship and an awareness of that nearness of God, a sensitivity to it, not just blundering through life with no understanding whatsoever of God's presence and his involvement in my life. How near is God? Let me put it this way. God is nearer to you than your own soul. God is nearer to you than your most intimate thoughts. Why is it that God seems to manifest his presence to some and let multitudes of others struggle along in the half-light of imperfect Christian experience. Dear ones, the difference lies not with God, but with us. In seeking God. That's our theme. When you sit down in the mornings or whenever to read His Word, are you seeking God through that Word? Are you seeking God's reality and dealing with your sin and dealing with your burdens and dealing with many other affairs of your life? And in prayer, are you seeking God? Well, I venture to suggest that throughout these ages, through biblical times and throughout years of history, even in biblical times and in history, has it not been true that there are men who have known in a unique way the presence of God, and what a difference it has made in their life and in their ministry? You see, the big difference somewhere along the way became the matter of receptivity. They were open to and aware of God's presence. Now, what's the problem that interferes? I believe one of the problems, whether we are aware of it or not, is that we live in a world that is a part of a push-button instant generation. We really don't want to wait for anything, do we? We get frustrated if the internet doesn't load like that. We want instant tea, instant coffee, instant internet. On and on and on. And that carries over sometimes even into the general evangelicalism of churches. We want instant whatever. Now, the now generation. Right now. Tragic results would be shallow lives, hollow religious philosophies, the preponderance of the element of fun in gospel meetings, and the little bitty how-to books on the Christian life. A fix, a quick fix, rather than digging deep into God's infinite truth and absorbing it and seeing it change and transform my life. Those are some of the wonderful aspects of a sensitivity and receptivity to God's presence in my life. The pervasive presence of God is a fact. God is here. Is it your experience? Are we listening? Are we seeking His presence? I'm going to close with these words. We will know him in increasing degree as our receptivity becomes more perfect by faith and love and practice. Now listen to this petition. Make it yours. O God and Father, I repent of my sinful preoccupation with visible things. The world has been too much with me. Thou hast been here, and I knew it not. I have been blind to thy presence. Open my eyes that I may behold thee in and around me. For Christ's sake. Amen. Well, may God write these truths upon our hearts today. Make them ours for the days to come. May we know the deep blessing of seeking God in our personal lives, day by day. Let's pray. Our gracious God, we do look to you now for your guidance, your help, your blessing. Write these truths, Lord, upon each of our hearts, and help us to give much thought to the reality of your presence at all times, all places, all circumstances. Lord, we pray that we might live that life with the awareness of your presence, under your authority, and seeking to please you at all times. We pray and we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.